Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Here we are again. I can't believe how fast the days go. And I'm so excited about my guest this evening because I met him many, many years ago when I was looking into recording some of my own music. And I don't have to go through this whole thing. I've been doing this 4 years ago, so in my promo, you guys know what this show is about, and I think most of you do. And if you don't, it's about childhood memories and how they influenced you to becoming who you are, you know, today. So my wonderful guest this evening is the legendary keyboardist that so many people all over the world already know, and his name is Jeff Levine. And welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you so much to have me. I know we've been talking about doing this a while, and I appreciate that it finally came together. And just to remind you, we probably actually go back to the days of Clarence Clemons and the Red Bank Rockers.
That's right.
With your brother.
That's right,
Billy
we do.
Billy Ryan, who played guitar. Mm-hmm. So the years
I
are
know,
moving on,
a...
but happy to be here.
Yeah, and that's when I don't think that I met you that night, but I was there that night in at Big Man West Club for his big, you know, opening of his club, and all 14 members were there, and you were there in the band as well as Billy, and it was such an exciting night. I'll never forget it. It was really
yes,
wonderful,
was.
And that's actually the first night I met Bruce Springsteen, because he came
mm-hmm.
into the trailer, like in the, you guys took a break, and we were in back in the trailer, and oh, it was pouring down rain, I remember, but he came into the trailer, and I was introduced to him then. But I want to
yes.
ask you, as I do all of my guests, like who, and I know the answer to this question, I think, but who influenced you the most while you were growing up to be, and why?
Well, I would say that, first of all, my mother was a fabulous piano player, and she played as a late teenager in USO tours for army groups. And when she met my dad and started having a family, she pretty much gave that up as far as professionally, but maintained doing local theater and local community shows, mostly in the Broadway vein. And she got me going on the piano. But I had siblings who were actually better at it than I was. I was a young boy that wanted to go out and play baseball in the yard like most kids. And my dad was an accountant. And my dad, I thought I would go into my dad's business, but he actually did the books for a racetrack outside of Boston called Suffolk Downs. And when the Beatles came to Shea Stadium on that tour, Suffolk Downs was the Boston stop, so he got tickets for the whole family. So after seeing the Beatles, I'd say that's what made me want to go into my mom's business instead of my dad's.
Right, right.
And,
okay,
yeah,
and so
after
how many...
that,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, how many siblings do you have?
Well, I have three. Unfortunately, my youngest brother passed away a couple of years ago. Who I remember
I'm
coming home.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, from the hospital as a baby, my brother Alan, who was also a dear friend and a big supporter of my career, and we used to roll around, and he'd come to a lot of shows and things like
oh,
that.
Good.
But I know he's in a good place and hope someday I'll see him again.
Right, exactly. Yes, I lost a brother, too, my brother Bobby, who is 18 months younger than I am, and he passed away five years already. The time, you know, the older we get, I'll say we, the older we get, the faster the time seems to go. But you have an outstanding career, and I saw that beautiful, beautiful. I remember coming to your studio, and I did put that in the promo that you were my I recorded at your studio my CD, Ryan Rocks, and that you have a gorgeous, gorgeous studio, and how
you
are a consummate professional. And I loved that photograph that I saw of your mother in front of the organ, and she was absolutely stunning, beautiful. And I'm sure she was a wonderful entertainer.
Yes, she was. No arguments in the sun. She
right.
was, and again, a great influence on me. And then later, of course, the whole British rock invasion was a big influence on everybody. And I immediately gravitated to sort of the British rockers who were covering the American blues. You know, the Rolling Stones were, and the Animals were, as well as some Beatles stuff. But where the Animals had a keyboard player, I was very much gravitated towards them to learn how to play, like Alan Price and Dave Roberry, who were the two organ players for Eric Burdon, who, by the way, is coming to the Count Basie Theater next week here. Who I'll be happy to go
wonderful.
See.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, well, getting out of high school, I was very lucky to step into a touring band called the Chambers Brothers, who at the time were doing quite well. And how that happened was my high school band actually opened for them at a show at a prison up in Massachusetts. And they asked me later to join the group. So when I got out of high school, I hit the road.
That is, yeah, that's really something. Well, you were destined, that was your destiny to do that for sure. And you played the B3 organ a lot, most of the time, isn't that right?
Yeah, well, it's a question of back then there wasn't the proper amplification for pianos. And, of course, in the 60s we had these portable organs like the Vox Continental or the Farfisa that you'll hear in 60s music. And then it was really maybe when the Felix Cavalieri and the Young Rascals came out and he used the Hammond B3, that raised the bar of the sound of the organ. And, of course, I had to go out and try to acquire one of those. And it was kind of easy because all I had to do was get my mom interested because she also played organ, and we had one in the family. So it's really a question of exposure. That was the keyboard that I could play, and there weren't many choices like today. Now there's 8,000 different makes of synthesizers, digital pianos, and organ simulators. So, but I still prefer the real instrument.
Exactly. Well, I think that because I grew up kind of in the 60s too, and I had a friend named Steve Lusardi, who you probably know, and he came and was part of my on my album, and I knew him from when I was 18 years old, and he used to play in the Pillow Talk, and he was in a group called the Dynamic Duo, they used to pass the mic around, you know, up and down the bar, and so I would always go there, and so I love the B3 organ. I just love that the sound of that organ and how many different sounds you can get out of it. And
yes, and all you have to do is touch. If you touch one note and hold it, you sound great.
Right. I had this, it's the silliest thing, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but when my daughter got married, when my youngest daughter, Nina, was going to get married, I had actually was given this enormous, I mean, it looked like a church organ. It was round, and it had all these tabs on the top of it. I mean, I don't even know what kind of an organ it was, but it was, like, unbelievable. It was given to me along with this photograph, this big picture of paint, an oil painting that was above it. And so, but when my daughter got married, I did a swap, and I got my daughter a whole bedroom set, like a 5-piece bedroom set. I said, because they wanted the organ and the photo and the picture, the painting. I don't know what the worth was, but I said, sure, take it away, and they did. But I used to sit on it and play the few songs that I know. I always wanted to play the piano, and I never did. My brother Billy taught me, how to play the first few chords, and that's how I started writing. I've written by about, you know, over 100 songs, but I got into this radio thing, and it just took me over. From my first interview, I was interviewed by Joey Reynolds in New York City, and that was it. But I want to get back to you because I was so overwhelmed and impressed. I didn't know how many. I mean, I knew that you had played with the recent people. I knew you were with Clarence Clemons. I knew that you had played with Hall & Oates. I knew that you had played with, Joe Cocker. But I didn't know, like, all of the other people. So when I did my research, which I do on everyone, I go everywhere. I Google people first, and then I'll go to Facebook. And I was so amazed that the list is so long. So people,
well,
there is a site.
Well, I was very fortunate. I was very fortunate, and I think the whole key coming from Boston was I made the move to New York City. And I feel that with a 212 area code, eventually you get called. Of course, I was lucky to be sort of prepared when that happened, but that was really why, and I feel that I was lucky to step into some good situations from living in Manhattan. It wouldn't have happened if I stayed in Boston.
Right. You're absolutely right. In fact, I just had a friend of mine that was in California forever. He's a fantastic country singer. He's been doing it forever, and he moved. He was from Boston, though, but he had been in California for 26 years, and he moved back to Boston. He was there. He said, "Nancy, it's killing me. Oh, they don't want to hear my music here anyway, and I got to get." So he was here a few years, and he did. He went back to California because of the music scene. It just wasn't for country. I mean, even country here is just starting to come to Asbury Park. So, you know, forget. I don't know what's happening in New York. I don't know if there's any country in New York, but anyway. I want to tell people before I forget. Would you please give people your main site that they go to, the HPP address, because I don't have it in front of me, and I wish I did so I could tell them. But if they go to it, it gives them everything. Your biography, what's that?
Yeah, I try to maintain it a little bit. I have a webmaster. It's not always completely up to date, but it's jefflevinemusic.com.
Okay. So that's good. I should have written it down, and I was remiss in not doing that. So it's jefflevine.com, and if they go to that, it will tell them all about you.
No, Jeff Levine Music.
Jeff Levine Music. I'm sorry, jefflevinemusic.com.
Yeah,
okay,
Find me on Facebook.
Cool.
Yeah,
because people, you've got to see. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't believe I thought to myself, this is one of the longest biographies that I've done, or not biographies, promos that I've done, rather. And I was trying to think, I need to start making them a little bit, you know, shorter. But you know what? People want to know. That's what I say anyway, probably because I want to know. So I always want to know everything about everyone, and that's why I'm doing
this show. Well, I appreciate you taking a look, Nancy.
Oh, I read everything.
Yeah.
I read everything. And not only the bands that you were in, but the performing and the recording credits that you have. Okay, I'll say some of them. Mark Anthony, Chuck Berry, Michael Bolton, John Fogerty, Whitney Houston, Al Jarreau, Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr., Michael McDonald, Wilson Pickett, Pink, Bonnie Raitt.
You better
come
stop,
on,
Nancy.
Martha Reeves,
like,
and the Vandellas,
like
Smokey Robinson. I could just go on and on. Smokey Robinson, Carly Simon, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Grover Washington Jr., and among many others. So, guys, and the biggest thing, and I'm going to say this, that you created numerous arrangements for several artists and was commissioned to arrange a medley of Ray Charles music for the Grammys Lifetime Achievement Awards show.
Yes, that was probably my most nerve-wracking gig.
Ray
because,
Charles.
Yeah,
now,
Ray,
that just
of course, was a
goosebumps.
Very big influence.
Gave me just goosebumps. I took your thunder.
Well,
you were supposed to tell us.
I'll show you the clip sometime, but, you know, Ray being, of course, a huge influence on me and probably today still one of my favorites. To have him sitting in the front row with me playing his material, that was pretty nerve-wracking. Forgetting that sitting next to him was B.B. King and Fats Domino, among others, but just having Ray in the room. And, you know, when I had to ask him afterwards, Ray, was it all right? And he said, you did pretty good. So that was good. And the great thing about that is, I got to know Joe Adams' manager. And touring through Europe, if I found him in some auditorium in France out in the middle of the country, I could go in and hear the show. And, you know, those were the places where Ray would go on for 2 or 3 hours playing, as opposed to the times you'd see him in New York where he'd play 45 minutes at the Blue Note. And actually, we did a show with Darlene Love where we opened for Ray at Radio City Music Hall as well.
Yeah, right. I want to get Darlene Love on my show as well. I've seen her. I saw her at the Light of Day. And I was talking. I had, of course, also Tim McClune was on my show, and I picked up his Holiday Express as one of my nonprofits. But I definitely want to. She even asked me, his assistant, that said, "Hey, you want to get Darlene Love?" I said, "Well, of course I do." So, you know, she would be wonderful to have on my show.
Yeah, she's a fabulous lady, great singer.
I'll work on that. I'll work on doing that. So many of you artists are, you know, hard to pin down because you're your career, you're so busy. And again, I'm very happy that I'm doing this via the telephone, because it's so much easier and convenient for you. And you know what I love about this too is afterwards, Jeff, you know, this is going to go worldwide again, because the interview is going to be promoted the same way that the show was. So, and people can, for their convenience, they can, and all they have to do is, they don't have to go to a link. See, I'm lazy. I go to a link. No, they just have, we'll see it. They'll see interview. They'll see your name. They'll click on the play and they'll hear us. And
oh,
that's
so I better be careful about what I say then.
Yeah, oh, don't worry. You're safe on my
okay.
show. Yeah, we're for general public. You're safe on my show. Okay, I want to ask you too, because you know, you have, I know, a lovely wife, Melissa, and two, you know, young, beautiful girls that are growing up. And so, how do you fit all of this music and your recording studio and your family? I mean, you must be one busy guy.
Well, it's called not sleeping too much, but I am busy. And of course, you know, at the time when the kids were even younger, it was a little harder, but things are easing up a bit. And, you know, I just officially started the Little Help Tribute Band, which we're now booking dates in Europe for 2017. July, starting out in Denmark, and that's
right,
basically the veterans of the Joe Cocker Band. And of course, through his career, he had many musicians, and they're kind of all on board to get together and play some shows based on where we are in the world. We did one out in California, and we used, of course, players that lived out that way, with a few of us that flew west from here. And Joe
right.
was really a special guy, and, you know, that was a hard one when he passed
yeah.
away.
Oh, that song, You
yeah.
Are So Beautiful. Is that, the, that was the song that he sang, right? You Are So
well,
Beautiful.
Well, yeah, you know, that was probably his biggest hit that he ever had and
right.
his most memorable. And it's too bad for him that at the time he was going through a lot of personal stuff and didn't really get the most out of what that song would have done for his career if he wasn't going through all that other stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, but that song is just, I mean, it's just, it was unbelievable, and I remember
yeah,
seeing
actually,
him perform it on TV.
Billy Preston is one of the writers there
uh-huh.
on that. And it was, you know, Billy, who was also a friend and known him since my Chambers brother days. And
mm-hmm.
the times I remember that Joe and Billy would work together. We played at George Bush Sr.'s inaugural ball. And I remember going with Joe to the Bottom Line in New York, and it was always interesting when they sat in, because Billy had his way of doing it, and Joe had his way, and the two of them were never great at bending to each other's arrangements. So together it never worked out great, but it is an amazing song. And
right.
You know,
right.
again, he was just a fabulous guy to play with. He was really
mm-hmm.
Inspirational
well,
in every way.
Well, very unique, you know, very unique. Unique in his style, unique in his look, unique in his everything about him was really unique. And, of course, we're all different and unique in our own way. But there was something about his presence, I think. And I've never saw him live, unfortunately. But I sure
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I saw him on TV several times. So,
well, I started with him. We recorded the Unchain My Heart album, actually in New Jersey at the House of Music, circa 1987. And that
mm-hmm.
was when I first started with him. At the time, I was working with Peter Wolf from the Jay Giles Band, and I was
okay.
committed to go out with Peter, so Joe invited me on the road, and I couldn't go. But later on,
okay.
Peter, unfortunately, that tour got canceled, and I ended up going out with Joe for the first time, and just loved touring with him, because, again, he was so great to play with, and, you know, everything that came out of his mouth was from the heart, and that's what
right,
it's about.
Right.
And actually, I did his 2012 tour. We were here locally at the PNC, and we were lucky to have Huey Lewis in the News opening. And Huey
mm-hmm.
was sitting in with us every night, too, and that was fun. He's a great guy,
yeah,
and what a
definitely.
Great band he has. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you've really, really done it. Do you have, like, any kind of a scrapbook or a memorabilia, chest anywhere? Or did
I had a lot of stuff that unfortunately got hit in Sandy. So I have old tour itineraries that are all moldy, and, you know, I saved some, but I threw most of them away. And I did have my past house in my garage, along with a lot of musical equipment. But I can't complain because I know a lot of people got hit a lot worse than I did. But, of course, studio was on a second floor and a couple of miles away from home, so no problem there. I'm very happy now. I'm mixing a great album at the studio for an artist named D.A. Foster, who's from Connecticut, and he actually has a group called the Shabu All-Stars and the Mohegan All-Stars, where he's the house band of Mohegan Sun. But this is an album that he recorded out in Los Angeles in 1987. It was produced by Paul Rothchild. You may know his name from producing all the Doors albums and Janis Joplin.
Right,
and the early Paul Butterfield stuff. But what happened was, unfortunately, Paul passed away shortly after the album and the estate. And the lawyers wanted to hold on to the tapes till they figure out who really had ownership on them. And D.A. Mm-hmm. Foster just only recently got him back. And so I took the tapes and brought them over to Sonicraft in Freehold, a great place for restoring old magnetic tape and transferring it to digital wave files. So we restored the tapes, and I've been mixing it at the studio, and it should be coming out sometime in the next couple of months. And great musicians,
the
great Mike Finnegan. I don't know if you know Mike Finnegan, a great organ player who was on the Jimi Hendrix album, Electric Ladyland, and also spent 25 years with Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. I saw them live. Yeah.
And he also, we first met, he was playing with Dave Mason in the years when Dave Mason was on top of the charts.
Yeah,
so
I saw him not too long ago at the Stone Pony at Summer Stage, Dave Mason, a few years ago. He went on and Southside Johnny a few years ago.
Yes, and we've talked about him coming out and even singing in front of the Little Hell tribute band on some dates.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's fantastic. I love his music. I love so much music, though. I mean, I really don't like that. I can't even think of anything that I don't like. It's just ingrained in me growing up. My mother was a singer, and she had all the albums, and when she passed away, I inherited all of her, old 78s. And I could not believe, though, she had everybody from Willie Nelson. I was so surprised. Everybody from Willie Nelson to My Fair Lady to Jackie Gleason from such a wide variety of music. I was so surprised and happy to get those albums because I grew up listening to them, but, you know, of course, didn't remember that until I was looking through all the albums again. And then there were boxes and boxes and boxes of them that my sister kind of just took over to Allenhurst, to the antique store, and gave them away. And I go, why did you do that? I would have, you know, gladly taken them. But in any case, music, of course, is just was in my blood forever. But I
there's a lot of great new music coming out too. Love some of the new music.
Definitely. And let's talk about Solomon Hicks.
Well, Solomon, as you know, Nancy, took a few years here working on his debut solo album that we did at the studio here. And at the time, he was still in high school.
Yeah,
and,
16,
you know,
right?
Taking the train
he
out here, and yes, and but we finally got that done, and it's out, and it's actually doing very well, mostly in Europe. It's and still in rotation in a lot of the blues radio stations. He's currently in Spain touring.
Okay,
so he's
good.
Starting to really get his, some hair on his chest, so to speak. So
that's
all good, and also. Organic Recordings just released a Bill Sims Jr. album, who's fabulous. I don't know if anyone out there knows a Bill Sims Jr. He actually is part of the Heritage Blues Orchestra, along with his daughter, who sings. And they were nominated for the Blues Grammy a couple of years back. I think they lost it to Dr. John. But and they tour over in France a lot. They go over there. But it's a great album if you like Delta blues. It's guitar and harmonica and vocals, and he's a deep singer. So
love
that's
it.
Great.
And, yeah, and did you meet him through through it's on the tip of my tongue, the James Cotton Blues, James Cotton himself, rather?
No, I didn't meet him through James. I actually met him in the Village circa 1991, I believe.
Oh, you go way back.
Yeah, he was playing in there, and I said, where's this guy from? But I did
and
know
they call
James
him King
Cotton,
Solomon
James
Hicks.
Cotton several times. I've recorded James as a guest on some of our other albums I produced.
Mm-hmm.
My great guitar player out of Connecticut named Jeff Pitchell. We had James Cotton as a guest on a recording.
Right.
And where my years with the James Montgomery Band, we were packaged with James Cotton doing lots of the college circuit up in New England.
And I must say that my brother Billy did play with a James Cotton Blues Band as well.
I remember that.
As
yep.
lead guitarist, yeah. So that was a great band. He was really happy to do that. And I see that Southside Johnny was a part, and that Jake Clemens, who's the nephew of Clarence Clemens, was involved also.
Yes, both
this.
Of them were very kind and generous to come into the studio and
on the
do
album,
a little
that's
bit,
great.
which really lifted the quality of the performance. They both were terrific.
Oh, I can't wait
that.
To hear it. I can't wait to hear it.
Yes, I will get you a copy. And I, you know, again, just lucky that it's actually making some noise in Europe. It's hard,
it's hard to
tell the blues in America right now. It goes through stages of needing a new gunslinger that kind of brings something fresh to it. We know Stevie Ray did in his years, and, of course, Robert Cray and Johnny Lang, Monster Mike Welch. I mean, there's, you know, new guys coming out all the time.
Right.
And
it's
a passion of mine, the blues.
Yeah, I
have
love
a nephew,
the blues,
though,
too.
Who's writing,
I grew up loving
niece,
it, too.
My niece married a terrific songwriter. She works for Dr. Luke out in L.A., and Dr. Luke produces with Katy Perry and many artists. And her husband actually wrote Sugar for Maroon 5. I don't know, Nancy, if you're keeping up with any of the new music. And he's got the co-write with the new Charlie Puth song and Usher, on and on. So there's a lot of great new music coming out, too. I'm not necessarily locked into the past. You know, you have to live life.
Well, Jeff, anytime you'd like to send my Ryan Rock CD to anyone, you're more than happy, welcome to do it, you know. And there would be a big payoff in it, believe me.
Can I take the rest of the show and interview you a little bit?
Oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. Why not?
Yeah, so tell the audience about you.
Because actually,
you
know who was going to interview me was my friend, Vinny Lopez, because he was on my show several times. And then he got so busy after he got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that he didn't, you know, interview. Yeah, go ahead, interview me.
I just bumped into Vinny last week, actually, in Asbury Park. Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You were playing music a long time, and you were from here, and then you moved out to California. What brought you to California?
Right. Now, I was known as Asbury when I was even, like, in my, like, 18 years old. I would have, like, the local photographer would take a picture of me and put in the paper. Here's a pretty Nancy, attractive Nancy Ryan, singer, songwriter, guitar player, you know, popular, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was a troubadour. I would go into the parks and down the beach and on the rocks. So that's why I had Ryan Rocks standing on the rocks. And because that's where I would take my guitar by myself a lot of times and go down there and, you know, play and sing. And that was my sanctuary. I just loved playing outside. And a lot of times people would, like, come over and gather and sit down. And even now, I played in Convention Hall for 3 years in a row before Sandy, Super Sandy, started. And Madison Marquette was very happy to have me do that. And I would just walk around singing to people, and you didn't need amplification in there because of, you know, you just, it was just like you
That's
were
a big hall.
Had amplification being in there. But anyway, I moved to San Diego, and then I just, you know, I was always writing and singing, but and I would sit, you know, I would like sing around on the streets and sing at the beach and do all that, and occasionally I would do, I had only one paying job in my entire career, and that was when I worked in Manhattan, and I lived in Weehawken, and I sang at a really nice restaurant called the Silver Fox, and that's the only paying job I ever had. And
oh,
it was
my
a great
gosh,
job.
You must have high credit card bills.
No, listen, I would just go and, you know, sing for like a few hours. A single mayor wanted to take me. I'm writing a book now just so. Oh, Bruce, yeah. Hey, Bruce, I can't wait till your book comes out, but I have a book coming out about my musical escapades because however I did not tour with a lot of bands and things like that, I like picked up Peter Frampton and took him to a concert he played at. I was backstage with Blue Oyster Cult. I was like maybe 20 inches away from David Bowie's face. I had got around the music business a lot in other ways, and I never told any of them I was a musician. But music isn't done for me yet. Music is just beginning for me. I was just put on another compilation CD, and there were only 10 people in the state of New Jersey that were picked, and I was picked for my song Indecision. So that came out about 5 months ago. In fact, I have to get busy promoting that. But that's going to be promoted all over. Al, this is on
it. I think you are right now. So let me ask you this.
I'm telling myself, look, I didn't even let you interview me.
What made you make the transition from musician to radio talk host?
Almost 4 years ago, right after I released that CD that I did, in fact, I didn't even know. This was before you. Before I recorded those six songs with you, and you were wonderful to get me John Harrington, I released three songs, and one of them was the one that was done at Quad Studio with the Nashville Singers, and it was that song, Indecision.
Mm-hmm.
And the second day it was released, what's her name? Anyway, the Joey Reynolds Show, Myra Channing called me, actually Doc Holliday in Virginia, because I recorded it through his connections. And they wanted me to come up and bring my guitar and be on Joey Reynolds. And then everything snowballed, and then all these radio stations were asking me, and I am still being played on a lot of radio stations, mostly internet radio, but I am on
a few
national radios.
Is it possible for you to play one of your songs now over this show?
No.
Do we have the technology?
I do actually, but I don't have enough time, and so I don't do that. But, things are in the works to maybe do my show, more an hour, and then be able to, like, play your music. Like, when I was with Hamilton, I would play the artist's music first, a song, and then we would do the show. And at the end of the show, I would play one of my songs. And that's what I did with Hamilton for 2.5 years. But now that I only do a half an hour and it's already over because I talk so much, I even have where's my chattering teeth? That's why. They weren't in front of me. Chattering teeth I have. But anyway, see, you didn't even get to interview me because I talk too much.
Well,
oh,
I got
goodness.
A couple of questions in there, so... Anyway,
yeah, you
because
did.
It was
you
enough
did.
About
and you know
me.
What?
What
it's
Nancy
not over.
Ryan?
And anybody that gets me anything gets 12.5% residual. I'll even go up to 15% residual income for life on anything they get from me. So if you have connections and you think I have some good songs, then, you know, take it away. And,
Nancy,
and of course,
you're my big connection. You've got this big radio show going on.
I promoted you like crazy and will continue to forever. And
well,
I always tell
you.
People about
that.
You.
And anybody
and
taking the time
be...
to listen, I appreciate you listening.
Well, yeah, and you're going to be on Bruce. I'm the only female. I always say this. I'm probably going to get a call from Bruce one day. But I'm the only female in the world allowed to post my radio show on Bruce Springsteen's fan club. And I have so many friends all over the world. You know, it's like unbelievable. Every day I have maybe 20 to 30 friend requests from people in places like you wouldn't even believe, like not just Brazil and Spain and Italy and places like that, but like Peru and now Indonesia and Bali and Saudi Arabia. It's like it's incredible, really, pretty incredible. So,
is your passport up to date?
My passport is going to be because I believe,
yeah,
and I don't want to say
it
yet.
Yeah, you got to get over there and start touring, Nancy. Yeah.
Well, I believe that I'm going to be singing in Germany in October. So that's kind of like in the limelight. But, Jeff, you know what? You never really did hear how great I can sing. So I'm going to, like, get you and say, Jeff, please, I need a half an hour, and I'm going to come over to the studio. And
well,
sing
wait a minute.
Because-
Do we have a couple... Do we have a couple of minutes right now? Might you be able to sing something for the audience?
Oh, no, no, I won't do
Acapella.
It over my... Not with this sound, not with this... I'm holding, you know what, I don't even have a really good microphone. I'm going to get a microphone that hooks up into my laptop to the studio.
Okay.
I'm using, like, my cordless phone, and I do have the iPhone S6 Plus, which is a great phone, but I don't trust to use it because, actually, sometimes that phone, it'll drop. It's only happened to me once, but I won't take that chance with my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, anyway, do you want to – I've got to go, and you have to go, but is there anything else you would like to say? Because I have to tell everybody about my nonprofits, and then I do have one sponsor, and I have to mention her as well.
Well, go
so
ahead.
There,
go ahead
I want to thank you for coming on my show because,
well,
you know,
pleasure.
I've wanted you to – Yeah, it's been
it's my
a real
and I wish
thrill
we had more
me.
Time to hear about you and what else you're doing in your family.
Yeah, yeah, well, I will talk. We'll talk. I've been meaning to contact you, and you've been so busy, really. And I've been really busy, too. So, you know, I just I have great guests. If you go to my Ryan Roxett and scroll down, you'll see who's been, you know, currently on my show.
Well, I want to wish
really...
you a lot of luck with your career.
Oh, because, you know, I
keep
was
us posted
nominated
of any
this
live
year.
Shows you're doing. What's that?
No, I was nominated this year. I almost fell off my chair. I got a message, and it said, Nancy, go to congratulations. And I go, well, what for? And they go, well, follow this link. And I followed the link. And it said that Nancy Ryan Rocks, was nominated in the category of top radio personality supporting local talent, and it was held at the legendary Stone Pony. And that was really an honor to be nominated. That's a hard nomination to get because you're up against, like I said, you know, like national radio stations and everything. So I was just thrilled that my show, and it's my show now, I mean, for the past 2.5 years, not 2.5 years, for the past 2 years, it's been my show. It's my radio show. Like, I own it. It's Ryan Radio. So, yeah, that's cool.
All right. Well, keep
I'm
it up,
I'm not Jeff
Nancy,
Levine.
And,
I haven't played with – I haven't – your life, to me, I don't know if I would have that energy. I have energy sitting here talking, but to, like, be ready and get on the plane like you have and travel everywhere and get on those stages, it must have been
well,
the most
I'll tell
exciting
you, Nancy,
thing.
Yeah, back in the day, we always had big limousines that chose to take us around. Today, I need an ambulance. No, I'm just joking.
And it's not because
but
of your age, either.
But that's what happens to aging rockers, okay.
No, no way. No
I've been
way.
Lucky. I've been playing a little bit with Joe Grushecki. In fact, I played with him at the Wonder Ball last week. And
yes,
that was a lot of fun.
I saw
and
that.
And, oh, did you? And hope to play with him at Light of Day this year as well, as I did last year. But he's
yeah,
terrific,
that's
and his
great.
Band is terrific. His
yeah,
son or whatever,
great.
And
well,
yeah,
yeah,
so
that's great.
There you go.
I was so silly. I saw Bruce a few years ago, and I got a bunch of pictures. The first thing he said to me was this: "Nancy, I love it when I see your brother Billy. He is one of the greatest guitarists ever." And so that's what I put under my picture, and I promoted it worldwide, of course. But because Billy doesn't toot his own horn ever, you know, he's very, very quiet and very reserved. He's not like me. I'm like right out there, and you know, I.
You mean he's quiet? Just, he's quiet enough for the both of you.
You're right. Anyway,
okay.
Jeff, thank you so much for coming
all
on
right,
the show.
Nancy,
it has
all
been
the best.
My honor and my privilege, and everybody is going to hear it and want to hear more about you. So
you,
I look forward to your future.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to go ahead on my nonprofits, and I'll be calling you.
You make me feel, you make me feel unnecessary, so thank you so much.
I make you feel very necessary.
Okay. All right, all the best
necessary.
To you. And go to those sponsors, because without them, we're not going to be able to talk, are we?
Yeah. Well, you have had one heck of a wonderful, wonderful career, and my hat goes off to you. So,
Well, thank you, Nancy.
I want to thank Jeff and everybody that's been listening tonight. I hope that you enjoyed the show, and I want to talk to you now a little bit about my nonprofits, and they are Minister Steve of Ten City, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels, Recording Radio. And by the way, all of my nonprofits have been on my show in person when I was with Hamilton Radio. Well, most of them. A few are with me since I left Hamilton Radio. And Hamilton Radio, I wish them the best always. They were a great experience for me and helped me in my career. Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. Carlos Rodriguez, the director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, the Monmouth County SPCA. Paul Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Holiday Express, the founder, Mr. Tim McClune. And, of course, we all know Tim McClune has a wonderful band and many, many fantastic restaurants, in addition to the Supper Club, which I love in Asbury Park upstairs. And number 10, my most recent, is the Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum. And that's my good friend Patty Ario, artist, and that is a nonprofit, and they have a museum out at Camp Evans. All right, I think I've got to go. I'm hearing a little bit of static, and I don't like that. But, however, I would be remiss in not saying thank you so much, Dr. Ina Silman from Smiles on Broadway, who is my new dentist. They've got three dentist offices, and she's right on Broadway in Long Branch, and I would highly recommend her. She's taking new patients, and she's a wonderful dentist, and you'll love her. All right, everybody, bye-bye. Till next time, I am signing off. Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks It, Asbury Park style. Good night, everybody.